soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on August 8th, 2015. I'm about to share with you some of the most awesome, amazing truths that are so simple, stated in the scriptures, and it's absolute pure simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. And the devil has worked so hard operating through the various means to lead people away from this truth, which I'm about to share with you. In fact, just yesterday, the Lord led me to a certain place where I spoke to two women. One of the women asked me, "Trevor, what good news do you have today?" And I looked to the Lord in my heart, and I said, "I will tell you." And about 2 minutes later, I said, "I have it." And I shared with them this wonderful message about what the Lord had said to Abraham, how God had spoke to Abraham, though he was an old, old man with many years and had no children, no inheritance. And the Lord told him that he would have an inheritance from his own body, even though he was an old man. In fact, he said, "Look up to the heavens, you'll have more children than the stars of heaven." And you know what Abraham, his name was Abraham at the time. "Yes, Lord, whatever you say," figuratively speaking. And this is the key thing that we need, is to hear the voice of God the Father and hear the voice of his Son, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And as we do, with Abraham said he believed God, God counted him righteous, just like that. God saying he's invisible, no one's ever seen God. And God, when he's believed, he counts you his friend. A lot of people think that God or Jesus is their friend, but listen, we're talking about God saying you're his friend. And I relayed this to these two women, and I looked at this one woman who I've never met before, and I said, "Don't you want to be his friend?" And she said, "Wow." It was beautiful, and the presence of the Lord was there. And I've shared this because this is the most basic thing, ladies and gentlemen. So you can either be a friend of God or an adversary of God. And if you're carnal and worldly and in the flesh, the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're at odds. But if you've been broken and repented before the Lord and put your faith in Jesus and you're listening to his voice, hearkening and doing his will, he counts you his friend. He counts you righteous, and he delights in you. Praise the Lord. What do you delight in? I was looking up that word, delight. There's people that delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. That's Psalms 1:2. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. But see, there's wicked people. Psalm 62, verse 4, they're opposite. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. They're opposite. They're adversaries. They hate God. They won't do what he says. Ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. I'm going to tell you something. This is from Genesis 15. Did you know that God is Abraham's exceeding great reward? Have you ever thought of God being your reward? People look for things of earth, like money or a certain spouse or a big house or things or belongings or honor of man, and they think that's their reward. But when you find the Lord, He should be your reward, because He's amazing and He's endless. He's a unlimited love, unlimited blessing, unlimited peace. And He counsels us and He instructs us that we could walk in this way. I'm going to read this. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Behold, to me you have given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Abraham heard the word of the Lord. We've got to hear the word of the Lord. You've got to hear the word of the Lord. And you've got to sit at Jesus' feet. Because what Jesus sits at the feet of the Father, He hears from the Father and He relays to His friends. That's in John 15. That's the way the kingdom of God operates. It's not this way in the church world, the religious world. They censor the Lord and they eclipse the Lord and they act as mediators before the Lord, and they are broken cisterns that cannot contain water, and they tread on the waters and give you defiled leavened bread. You can have it one way or the other. You can delight yourself in the Lord. You can be His friend. He can be your great reward. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, "This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. See, faith comes not by works, but by faith. When we have faith and believe the Lord, He counts us as righteousness. And this is the stumbling stone that people stumble over. That faith brings forth righteousness. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that believes in God is rewarded by diligently seeking Him. He's your exceeding great reward. He said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land inherited." And he said, "Lord God, wherein shall I know that I shall inherit it?" It goes on. The key here I'm showing you is in even James 2:23 says this, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." Let's go look at Jesus. You know that Jesus was taught by the Father. You know that Jesus listened to His Father. You know that Jesus said, "I delight to do your will, Father. Not my will, but thine will be done." And that's our example. That's Jesus. John 15, verse 9 and following. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments..." If you follow what I'm saying, if you follow what is written, what I've said, "you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." You cannot be a friend of the Lord if you don't listen to him and keep his commandments. Impossible. You're going to be an adversary, and you're going to set at odds with your thinking, with your desire, with the way you live. It'll be completely opposite. You won't delight in the Lord. You won't see him as your great reward. You'll see the world that's wicked and evil, that is detestable to the Lord, contrary to him in everything. Now listen, Jesus said again, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Now, is that amazing? Having a friendship with Jesus, sitting under the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we relate to one another in love as brethren, no lords other than King Jesus Christ, no other masters, no other lords, brethren. We love each other, we love God, and that sums up the whole law. And this is what Jesus says, "I'm calling you my friend if you'll keep my commandment. And whatever I have heard, I've revealed it to you." Now, if you're not getting excited, I guess your exceeding great reward isn't in the Lord. Because I hunger for him. Don't you thirst for him? "And blessed is he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for they shall be filled." "I've made it known unto you." The Father has sent forth the Holy Spirit. He sent forth the Spirit of his Son in our hearts where we cry, "Abba, Father." We've become one with the Lord. That's what God is doing in these last days. I want to tell you something. From Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" What God is doing is molding you into the image of his dear Son. It's not Tom, Billy, and Joe, or Mary, Susie, and Monica. It's Jesus. Are you in Christ? Are you in the Son of God? Are you in Jesus? Because that's the image that the Father is molding you into. If you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, if you've repented of your dead works and have faith towards God, and if you've been baptized into Christ through the Holy Spirit, this is what God is doing. And you're delighting in the Lord. And if it's not you living, but it's Jesus living, then you're listening to the Father. You're hearing him and you're believing him. And he counts you as righteous. And you will have the inheritance, just as Abraham did. Praise God. Listen, this is how Paul views it. In Galatians 2:20-21. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Listen, are you crucified with Christ? Because in Galatians 6, it says, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the passions. They're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto them." Crucify the flesh, the Adam nature, and come forth in the newness of the new man that was created by God. Molding by God, the activity of God. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Do you see how we're co-laborers? Do you see that it's God has caused the creation that's being in Christ? You're not just an Adam natural person trying to be religious, trying to please God. That's a stench before the Lord. God's called you to be like Abraham. what he says. Yes, Lord, whatever you say, I believe you. And I delight in you, Lord. I delight in your word. I delight in today's daily bread. Feed me the food that is convenient for me, Lord. Feed me the word that I need to live in these last days, to be pleasing and a delight to you, Lord. That is the simplicity that's in Christ. Did you know that there are 8 verses in the New Testament that talk about the most amazing thing, experience that was observed by apostles, disciples of Jesus, as they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." 8 different verses. Matthew 3:17, Matthew 17:5, Mark 1:11, Mark 9:7, Luke 3:22, Luke 9:35, Luke 20:13, and 2 Peter 1:17. Here's a verse, I want to read it to you. Matthew 17, verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The Father is pleased with Jesus, and this is the one that is our Savior, our Lord, that we're being conformed into his image. The truth Son that loved his Father. And now Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, we'll be pleasing to our Father, just like this. But we're told to hear him. This is the instruction from God Almighty that spoke, manifested his voice out of heaven. Hear him. Hear him. He speaks. This is my beloved Son. And is that what you want from the Lord? Is you delight in the Lord? That he be delighted about you, happy about you, rejoicing over you with songs of deliverance. Praise God. Well, I leave these things with you. Note Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth its voice? She stands in the top of high places by the way in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be the right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that has understanding, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that you may desire be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out the knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel's mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. These are the instructions of the word, ladies and gentlemen. God's not called you to be foolish, and despicable, and base, and as a brute beast. But he's called you to be one that's instructed of the Lord, taught of the Lord, hearing his voice, keeping his commandments, and he all these things shall be revealed to you, and you will receive the inheritance of the Lord.
Stay tuned for To The Point Report with Trevor Davis, RealtyReportNetwork.com.
And this is To The Point Report with Trevor Davis on August 8th, 2015. Today's headlines, we're looking at stories, ISIS seen building capacity for mass casualty attacks, reported by CNN.com on August 7, 2015. Reports state some in the U.S. intelligence community warn that ISIS may be working to build the capability to carry out mass casualty attacks, a significant departure from the terror group's current focus on encouraging lone wolf attacks, a senior U.S. intelligence official told CNN on Friday. To date, the intelligence view has been that ISIS is focused on less ambitious attacks involving one or a small group of attackers armed with simple weapons. In contrast, Al-Qaeda and in the Arabian Peninsula, or ACAP, has been viewed as both more focused on, more capable of, mass casualty attacks such as plots of commercial aviation. Now the intelligence community is divided. Another story on ISIS comes from EnglishFarsNews.com. Tehran, Iraq's army has shot down two British planes as they were carrying weapons for the ISIL terrorists in Al-Anbar province, a senior lawmaker disclosed on Monday. Quote, the Iraqi parliament's National Security and Defense Committee has access to the photos of both planes that are British and have crashed while they were carrying weapons for the ISIL, head of the committee Hakim al-Zamali said, according to a Monday report of the Arabic Language Information Center of the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq. He said that Iraqi parliament has asked London for explanations in this regard. Now, this story was reported on February 23, 2015. Another story about ISIS. U.S. General Wesley Ken Clark, senior former Supreme Allied Commander of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, during the war against Yugoslavia and presidential candidate, revealed recently on CNN that the Islamic State, ISIS, was, quote, funded by our friends and allies in order to fight Hezbollah, unquote. Although hailed by many as a whistleblower for this revelation, is it really possible that a man of this stature, who led NATO in slaughtering tens of thousands of innocent Serbs under the completely fabricated charges that they were genociding Muslims, really be telling the American people the truth now? Or was this leak a half-truth designed to mislead? This article was March 19, 2015, reported by the American Free Press. And lastly, this story. The Daily Mail reports today, August 8, 2015, regarding Yellowstone volcano, the time bomb under Yellowstone. Experts warn of 90,000 immediate deaths and a, quote, nuclear winter across the U.S. if supervolcano erupts. It could release 1 foot layer of molten ash 1,000 miles from the national park. It would be 1,000 times as powerful as the 1980 Mount St. Helens eruption. A haze would drape over the United States, causing temperatures to drop. Experts say there is 1 in 700,000 annual chance of eruption at the site.
I'm Trevor Davis, RealtorReportNetwork.com.
And this is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm. And I want to share just some more notes as we wrap up this program today. You know, I've been urging everyone to go back to the basics, to go back to the central focus of the faith that's in Jesus Christ, and that is Jesus. Seek Him. Seek the Father like never before, because your life does depend upon it. And you've got to hear from the voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, religious flesh goes through the motions, but does not want to hear the voice of God. And this is recorded in Hebrews 12, when the voice of the Most Excellent spoke to the children of Israel. They did not want to hear the voice of the Lord. It was terrifying, and it was awesome and ominous. But we need to know the voice of the Lord. We need to be not hardening our heart, not letting our conscience be hardened by sin, but we need to be broken, pure people that love, literally love the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. We have to love Jesus over everything. Your own life, your wife, your spouse, your children, your lands, the things you possess, your own life. What you must love the Lord more than anything. to where you do truly say, yes, Lord, yes, sir, I delight to do your will, willingly, Lord. Because God's not interested in you doing a bunch of sacrifices and offerings. He wants your obedience and to hearken. That was the lesson that King Saul did not learn. And he was rejected by the Lord, and the Lord kicked him out of that position of a position of king. Remember, in the kingdom of God, the rulership of the Lord, position means nothing. It's submission. Jesus Christ himself was completely yielded to his Father, and therefore, he has been given a name above every name, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, because he was obedient even to the point of death. Follow his steps. And you have this hope, you purify yourself even as he is pure. I'm going to read to you something so amazing. Most people know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the motive of God. That's the motive of Jesus, because he willingly laid down his life. But people pick and choose from the scriptures. They refuse the whole counsel, the counsel. People like to focus on an element of the Lord, his character, his personality, or even his teaching. They become specialists in faith, they think, or healing, or doctrine, but they don't have the counsel, the full counsel of God, and they cut holes in the Word, and their heart is calloused to all the instruction of the Holy Spirit. God is love, but he's also judgment. He will not tolerate wickedness being done under his heaven or in his earth. And he will not tolerate it among religious environments. He that believes on him is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Again, we're seeing the work of God in people that are broken and submissive, and God does a work in them, a transformation, a washing, a regeneration of a new man by faith, by grace. This is the act of God. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the word of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. God does so love the world, and that's why he sent Jesus. It's to bring you out of sin and to deliver you. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the cross. It's the power of God unto salvation.
A production of RealtoReportNetwork.com with Trevor Davis.
We hope you find this broadcast helpful. To contact Trevor Davis, go to RealtoReportNetwork.com or call 866-536-4605.